This is Greg James, and you're listening to University Radio Nottingham, otherwise known as URN, or EARN if you get it wrong. Go well!
Laura is going to take us through our local article from Impact Magazine.
Hello everyone. So we are going to be discussing an article written by Esme about the energy bill increase and how this is affecting students. So for example, Masters student Gemma Cockwell said the uncertainty of how much energy prices will rise makes it very scary going into the new academic year. The prices for gas and electricity bills have massively increased, which has left students feeling anxious and guilty over relying on their parents because they simply cannot afford the cost of living at the moment. The university has offered financial support for students to ease concerns, including advice on how to manage student budgets, as well as providing self-catering facilities and budget food options on campus and warm spaces on campus. So my first question to you is, do you think the university is doing enough to support students given the cost of living crisis?
No, I don't think it is at all. Because while they are making more help available, the problem is that people don't know that help is there. Because it's not being advertised very well, which is probably, not to disrespect the lovely university overlords. But it probably helps them that it's not well advertised because they can, you know, say, oh, look at us, we're providing this help. But if people don't know about it, then, you know, it saves the university money, but they can still claim that they're providing that help. But on a more technical level, I think the problem is it's not just on the university to provide assistance, because obviously the majority of students' sort of living costs are, you know, part and parcel of the maintenance loan that we are provided as undergraduate students. And the problem is that undergraduate loan is not rising with inflation, which I think is a core part of the problem. It's only risen by probably only like £100 at most from what I recall moving last year into this year. But I can certainly say that costs have risen by a little more than £100. But I suppose it is that question of balance. You know, again, you know, if the university is in a position to help, I certainly think it should do. I just think it could do a little sprinkle more. I don't know if you guys would agree with that.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. It's not a fantastically well advertised set of services, from what I understand. I don't recall seeing any emails in my inbox, but I'm awful at checking my emails, so that may just be me. But yeah, I think that you're right that at the end of the day, it does lay in the hands of the people that are external to the university. It's in the hands of the government, Student Finance England, and all these other organisations, as well as, I think, energy providers and landlords as well, who do need to be understanding that a lot of students aren't working, are on limited budgets. They need to know that maintenance loans haven't gone up, and it's going to be a difficult few months. And the support is really needed.
I think the university can, I agree, do a lot more, but it's not necessary. I think they're in a position where they can't really, I don't know, they can't do anything that's going to just like flip it on the side. Like, it's not just going to be, if the university step in somehow, it's not just going to be like, right, okay, we're all fine now, we're out of this crisis. Like, it's going to be a very, very gradual process. Like Joe was saying, it's not just going to happen overnight. And I think to place all the responsibility on the university is a big extreme. It is so many other factors to like take into account.
I think as well, what is going to be quite concerning is, you know, I'm currently a third year student and I'm potentially looking at doing a master's next year. You know, as it mentions in the article, Gemma, master's loans don't get maintenance loans. You know, you get the whack sum of, I believe it's roughly around 9,000, which goes towards, you know, the cost of the degree. Most of the time, the entirety goes to the cost of the degree, but you don't get anything else to help support you. So there's a very good chance that I may personally have to take out a gap year in order just to save money, in order to, you know, continue with my studies, in order to continue with a master's. But I suppose even for undergraduates as well, you know, having to rely more on the bank of mum and dad is, it's really not a convenient time to do that when your mums and your dads are themselves facing an unprecedented rise in energy bills. You know, at the end of the article, it does mention that 1/3 of British households are already struggling to pay their bills. And so as a result, you know, if your maintenance loan can't cover it, and you're not able to go to your mum and your dad for support like the government expects you to, especially if you perhaps have more sort of middle class parents who are also struggling due to the sort of payout scale that the maintenance loan is, you know, I think there's a very real risk of, even for undergraduates, people are going to be put off of university simply because of the cost. But I suppose since the government wants to impose caps on student numbers anyway, that might play right into their hand. But I wouldn't go so far to say it's intentional. But I mean, do you guys predict students being put off coming to university? Is it a real risk, or will people go if it's the passion and dream anyways?
I do think there's a concern, and I think it might limit students' options, because there might be a rise in the number of students who choose to study at home to combat the cost of living. But again, I don't know if students who stay at home have access to maintenance loans and that sort of thing, so that might put more pressure on parents, and again, it changes their students' experience. They might not get the full experience of uni if they're forced to go to a local uni and don't get that opportunity to spend as much time with their peers.
I think as well, like, one of the things that these university financial support team mentioned is that they're going to be collaborating with the SU to provide, quote, a range of warm places on campus to provide entertainment and spaces to study across the winter evenings. I mean, the implication I get from that is that they're expecting students to have to use spaces on campus, because otherwise they're going to freeze in their homes.
Mm.
And to be fair, I already have a friend who, to be fair, in honesty, they're getting the windows replaced, so they are. That's why the house is going to be a bit cold at the moment. But even so, windows being replaced aside, just simply not being able to pay, you know, your heating bill or your gas bill, it's kind of scary that that's what university spaces are going to have to become. They're going to have to become places where you have to go, because otherwise you're going to freeze. But I suppose also, as a result, we might see a rise of people napping in the library overnight. I mean, the libraries are open 24 hours now, I believe.
They are.
So I suppose, if anything, this is an advertisement to go sleep in your local George Green or Hallward library.
Woohoo!
Which I wouldn't recommend. It's quite uncomfortable.
Have you slept in the library?
I have not slept in the library, okay. But I've heard tales of people slept in the library.
Yeah. I know some universities have blankets in the library. York, for example, have blankets so that students who are studying can wrap up warmly. It might be something for the University of Nottingham to look into during these colder winter evenings.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, obviously now one of the features that the SU have introduced are the community cabinets, where they're handing out, you know, sanitary products and as well as basically things that promote safe sex. It might get to the stage where we need to have almost like a warmth cabinet, where people can just take blankets that they need, perhaps in more extreme cases, you know, rent out, well, not rent out, but loan out, in sort of a free sort of library sense, loan out heaters to people in order to stay warm. But, you know, again, that's a very extreme sort of, that's almost like the nuclear option they'd have to take in order to keep students warm and keep them, you know, at university and not going home simply because it's too cold to live. But I really do think at that stage, you know, that is the stage where we're literally having to provide blankets and radiators to people, where the government should get involved. And I can't particularly say that I've seen any sort of government assistance on its way for students. I mean, do you think that there's a place for the government to be doing more?
I think it's absolutely the responsibility of the government. It's not even something you can particularly pin on student finance or student loan company, because they don't get to set how much you get in maintenance. It's not their call what the max and minimum is. They did appoint a new CEO today, actually, so there's a potential that there's a slight shift in, you know, their algorithms or whatever, if they're feeling generous. But at the end of the day, it is a government policy decision on how much is handed out to students in maintenance and whether there's going to be any extra bursaries over winter for cost of living, which I think there definitely should be.
I completely agree, and I do feel that students are quite often left behind with this sort of thing. So, for example, there's, as well as the £200 grant that all students, all people living in households get to help pay for bills this winter, there was also the option of having a £200 sort of grant from the government if you lived in a certain, if you paid a certain amount of council tax, sort of on the lower end. And unfortunately, many students don't qualify for that, because unless you're living in the same house as last year, or you can apply for it for your previous house and get the money from them, a lot of students won't have access if it's their first time living outside of the house and in the community.
Mm. I suppose sort of one final sort of area that I want to touch on, obviously I've spoken quite a bit and sort of posed the question quite a bit about specifically heating, mainly because that is the thing with gas shortages we might be looking at having issues with going into winter. But just cost of living in general, you know, do you think that there's a risk that students might be malnourished simply because they're not able to afford all the food that they need? And, you know, what kind of steps should we see the SU and the university taking to avoid that?
Yeah, I mean, today there was an article released by the BBC saying that grocery bills are forecast to rise by £12 a week. So when people, when students are buying the same amount of shopping and the same items, for to see a £12 increase, it is, it adds up. Like, it doesn't sound like a lot, but for a student budget, it absolutely is. And regardless of what your maintenance loan is, whether it's on the higher end or the lower end, that's going to be significant to your bank account. And like, for an essential part of living, like regardless of whether you're a student or not, for to see that happen is like very, very daunting. And yeah, I think in terms of like grocery bills, the university can actually do quite a bit there in terms of like providing sort of like cheaper recipes and things, like food bank links, things like that. They can, I think the university's responsibility is to use their platforms, like in the SU, to be able to conversate this information to them. So I think they just need to do a lot more research into it and into the local community and how the community can help students at the university.
I completely agree, and I suppose that wraps up this section rather nicely.
This is URN.